You are now listening to a message from Ekwa Christian Center. Get set to be edified. God has blessed you.
But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also what? And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also what? Verse 7 now says what? Every man according as he what? So let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound toward. Now, notice something. The major motivation of the believer to prosper must be for the purposes of abounding to every good work. Abounding to every good work. That you are able to contribute, okay, and be a source of help to those who might need it. So you see, the philosophy of the Bible, Christian philosophy, is not to gather, to expend on your selfish needs. Praise God. All right. It's actually to gather, to increase, so that you can be a blessing to those that do not have. That is actually what the Bible teaches when it concerns financial increase and material acquisition. All right. The major motivation must not be covetousness. All right. It must not be covetousness like they do in the world, where we are trying to amass wealth so that we can show that we are the biggest in town, all right, that we are the most powerful, glory to God. That is not what Christianity is about. So, for example, flaunting wealth, flaunting your latest cars, flaunting your latest bags, flaunting your latest mansion, flaunting your private jet trips, that's actually not the motivation for a Christian when it comes to having financial increase. Those are worldly motivations. Those are worldly things. And it should never be named, all right, with Christian. The motivation for a Christian is to be able to what? All right, sponsor good works. Be a blessing, all right, to people. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, look at it. It says here, Ephesians 4, 28, turn in there. It says what? It says, let him that stole steal no more. I think our politicians will need to meditate on this scripture. What do you guys think? Imagine going to maybe the National Assembly and they say, you should come and preach, and you say, our memory verse is taken from Ephesians 4, 28. Let him that stole steal no more. They will invite that preacher again. Amen. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give. Notice, it says, that he may have to give to him that needed, because the motivation, all right, and the drive of a Christian as regards financial increase must be that he might be a blessing. Now, listen. Notice in Ephesians 4:28, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Let him labor, working with his hands. So, honest work is the vehicle the believer must employ to generate value on the earth for the purposes of good works. Honest work, all right, is the vehicle. So, we don't just try to prosper anyhow. Mm-mm. Honest work. Work without blemish. Hallelujah. You can't say, Pastor, I just want to thank God. You know, I've been struggling at my 8, 9 to 5, but really, Pastor, my eyes were open. I discovered OnlyFans. And as I began to put out content in OnlyFans, man, yeah, God, I'm prospering, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Mm-mm. No, that's not honest work. Doesn't glorify God. Recently, a lady came out to talk about how she was trafficked, all right, as a child, as a minor, all right, into sex work, right? And, you know, there are a lot of states in the country where, all right, they deceive mothers into releasing their children, saying that their children are going to be able to work and to earn. But actually, they actually were trafficking those children. The funny thing was that some of the people who were leading, you know, in sex trafficking were Christians, so to speak, that attended churches, and they paid tithes, and pastors blessed their business. Are you following what I'm saying? All right? So that's not honest work. So honest work is a vehicle, glory to God, that the believer must employ to generate value on the earth for the purposes of good works. Honest work. Honest work that has value. Remember, we said that increase, financial increase goes in the direction of value. The value that you offer. Glory to God. The value that you bring to the table. Now, the value that you bring to the table is not based on what you feel is valuable. No, it is what the market says is valuable. Amen. I said amen. Think about it. I don't know if you watch football here. You watch football? Bolu, you watch football. Interesting. Amen. You watch football? Okay, good. How much is Cristiano Ronaldo being paid to kick the ball about? Now, think about it. I want you to think about it for a moment. All right? In football, there are 11 people on the pitch, right? Per team. There are 22 people on the pitch. Now, one guy is being paid $200 million per annum to kick the ball around the pitch. But there's some other guy who's on that pitch that is probably taking on maybe $50,000 or even $20,000. Which means two people can do the same thing. But the way the market values them is not the same. Are you following what I'm saying? So what is very important is for you to learn the market and the industry you are playing in, what is value according to that market? And how can you provide that value to that market? The value you are able to provide to that market will determine the financial increase that is what? That flows in your direction. Listen, as Christians, okay, we are not shielded, okay, from market forces. You cannot do bad work, speak in tongues, and expect money to flow to you. It will not work. Are you following what I'm saying? If you are selling jollof rice and the jollof rice is not sweet, you will not get money. You can speak in tongues. I can release prophetic word. It will not increase financial flow to you. Why? The jollof is not sweet. There is no value in the jollof. Amen? So because there is no value, the market does not perceive the jollof rice you are selling as valuable, so they will not move funds to you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You can never say, I'm going to be a person of value in the marketplace. It's very, very important. Now listen, I want us to just lay a theological foundation. Listen. As believers, we are not of the world, but we are in the world. We are not of the world, but we are in the world. And because we are in the world, it means that economic realities that we, you know, that is in the world, they are realities. Because you can't say, I'm seated with Christ, far above principalities and powers. I'm not in this world. I am in heaven. Well, people in heaven don't need jobs. People in heaven don't need BSc. Have you ever met an angel and said, I'm angel, Pumfafa. I'm in your class. You came to do BSc. No, they don't, because they're heaven. But you need a BSc. You need an education. Glory to God. Yeah, you need an education. You need to brush your teeth. All right? You will say, do you brush your teeth? Well, you're of the earth, because it's only people of the earth that need to brush teeth. Are you following what I'm saying? So there are economic realities we all have to play in. If you look at Acts 11:29, you find something interesting, that a famine was signified as approaching by the prophetic word. And because a famine was signified as approaching, the church had to take certain steps because of it. Acts 11:29 says, and there stood up one of them, named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth, death is famine, throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of what? Claudius what? Caesar. In the days of Claudius Caesar. Praise God. All right, in the days of Claudius Caesar. All right, now look at what he says. I said, and they stood up. He says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send what? Relief unto the brethren which dwelt where? In Judea. So you see, they took a decision because of economic realities. Is somebody understand what I'm saying? So they were not shielded from the economic realities. They took a decision because of it. Glory to God. So the church fully understood that a famine would have real economic impact on believers. So the Bible doesn't ignore economic realities. We find wisdom from God's word as to how to deal with such. All right, deploying wisdom in the delivery of value. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 25, 14 to 15. This is where we look at the parable of talents. Parable of talents. A lot of people say, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. Oh, God didn't give me anything. So let's look at this parable for a moment. Now, what is a parable? A parable is a story. Listen, a parable is a story that has a theological message. Okay? A parable is a story that has a theological message. So the point of the parable is the message. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. So we are not to really analyze the story to get the message. We are actually to, all right, find out what the point of the parable was. So, for example, the parable of talents, the theological message is faithfulness. That's what it's about. However, though in the parable of parables are where we are told to pass across a theological message, there are lessons in the stories. Are you following what I'm saying? There are what? Lessons in the stories. So let us look at Barry of the Talents and learn a few things from them. Glory to God. Matthew 25:14. Can we read one to go? It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Verse 15, everybody read, it says what? And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his what? Several ability. And straightway took his journey. Now notice, he gave 1 5 talents, another 2 talents, and another what? 1 talent. Now, what he gave each was subject to their ability. So, what he gave was not determined by his intention or his generosity. What he gave was determined by their capacity. Come on. I hear what I'm saying. What he gave was determined by their capacity. He says, all right, to every man according to his several ability, and straightaway took his journey. Okay? Now, it's the same thing with money, in finance, in business. All right? The capital that comes to you that you are able to attract is subject to your perceived capacity. What you can handle. In your place of work, in your industry, the responsibilities assigned to you is subject to your capacity. What it is perceived that you can handle. Are you following what I'm saying? What it is perceived that you can handle. So many times, a lot of people pray for prayer when they should actually be looking to increase their capacity. So he gave 1 5 talents, another 2 talents, and another 1 talent. All right, now listen. Look at verse 20. Matthew 25 from verse 20, look at the story. It says, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought what? Other 5 talents. Are you following the story? It says, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. So what happened? This guy was given capital of 5 talents and he came back with 100% return on investment. 100% return on investment. So someone comes here and says, oh, your business, I like your business, and puts 50 million naira capital into your business. And you come back after 1 year and say, all right, thank you for the investment. This is our profit. We're able to generate 50 million naira in profit, which was a 100% return on the capital that you invested in our business. That's what we are seeing here. All right? Now look at what he says, verse 21. He said, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over what? A few things. I will make thee ruler over what? Many things. Enter thou into the what? The joy of the Lord. Now remember, the parable is about faithfulness. So it says he was faithful with the money that was, the capital that was committed into your hand. He says, I'm going to commit more into your hands. Are you seeing that? Okay? And it's like that in life. If people take a chance on you, and they commit things into your hand, and you do well with it, do you know what happens? More is committed into your hands. The reward for a work well done is more work. If you're a business person, and you are struggling with sales, if you are in the service space, okay, maybe you're a fashion designer, you make clothes for people, and you've made clothes for 100 people, but you are struggling with sales, you need to check what's going on, what kind of service did I render? If I'm not getting more work, there must have been a problem with the quality of the work I did before. Praise God. For example, I have a dry cleaner, okay, dry clean my clothes, right? And I have some particular kind of clothes that, you know, are sensitive materials. And I notice every time I send the materials to, you know, those kind of clothes to a dry cleaner, they always come back with some kind of funny stain as though they use the wrong kind of chemical, so it affects the color. Now, I'm not going to be taking those clothes back to that dry cleaner. Why? They messed up the one I took there before. So they're going to get less work or no work. Praise the Lord. Now look at the next one. He says, he also that hath received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. So notice, he was given 2 talents and he brought back what? 2 talents. Notice, the first guy was given 5. This other one was given 2. The first guy was given more, right? But the return was the same. It was 100%. It was 100%. Some people might have more capital than you. Stop comparing yourself with them. Compare, all right, yourself, all right, and focus on the return on the capital that is in your own possession. That person started with 1 billion. You started with 100 million. You started with 10 million. Forget the guy that did 1 billion. You have 10 million. Get your 100% on the 10 million. Produce another 10. Hallelujah. And you will find out that when we are doing an assessment of both of your businesses, you will say both of you performed equally well. The same. This 100%, you 100%. That's how it's done. The master did not compare the guy with 5 with the guy with 2. Look at what he says when the guy tells him, I brought 2 back. So 100%. All right, look at what he says now. He says, his Lord said unto him, everybody read verse 26, says what? Well done. Thou hast been faithful over what? I will make thee ruler over what? Enter thou into what? Notice the commendation was the same. He didn't compare. Because it was the master who gave the person 5 that gave another person 2. Now let us look at the small-minded fellow. Oh, praise the Lord. Just look at this one. Look at verse 24. I want all of us, you must read it. Make sure it's on the screen. Everybody will want to go. It says what? Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art what? An hard man. They never take responsibility. Thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not what? Nonsense. Yeah, man. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. My bosses are wicked. What kind of organization is this? Very heartless organization. He says, and I was afraid. He then said, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there, thou hast that is thine. So, he had 0 returns on the capital that was given to him. In his mind, what is all this? My boss is wicked. What is 1 talent? You gave 1 person 5. You gave another person 2. Why did you give me 1? Is it because I am black? Is it because I'm a woman? Is it because I am short? Is it because I am Igbo? Is it because I am Yoruba? Is it because I'm Hausa? Blaming. Until time we pass. And when it's time for our appraiser, you bring back the 1. Glory to God. There's a lot for us to learn. Now, a whole lot for us to learn. Now, let's finish the story. Then, he says, his Lord answered and sent unto him. What did he call him? He says what? Thou wicked, number 1, and what? Slothful servant. The word slothful is lazy. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the what? Exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received my own with what? Usury. Usury means interest. Interest. Glory to God. Take therefore the talent. Now, this is very, very, very interesting. Take therefore the talent from him. This is the guy that was giving 1 and didn't bring any returns. He said, take there the talent from him and give it unto him which had what? Notice the guy that was giving 5 got 5, but now has 10. The one that was giving 1, glory to God. The one that was giving 1 gave excuses and did not return. The master took from the 1, did not give it to the guy that now had 4. Who did he give it to? He gave it to them that had 10. There is a lesson there. There is a reason why the people that have more keep having more. It is tied to something they know and a capacity that they have. That the ones that have one and bury that their one don't know and a capacity they lack. This is just the honest truth. Now listen to me, everybody, and I say this with all humility. This sermon, I'm not broke shaming anybody. I'm not trying to sin. I'm just telling you this from the word of God, all right, and from common sense wisdom. Amen. All right? There is a reason why the fellow who has one usually loses it to the one who has 10. There is a reason why the fellow who has one always loses it to the one who has 10. Before I go further with someone, I want to just, everybody look up here. Praise the Lord. Apple has a company, has a market cap that is over $1 trillion. Market capitalization means the worth of the company. $1 trillion. Praise God. You know, they are a company started by somebody. Amen? All right? So let us, you know, capital was given to them. They traded it and it became more and all that. They are growing. Now, you are the guy with one talent. You are earning a salary. You have a phone. It works. You know, maybe it's an Android phone or some phone. Glory to God. You can pick call. They can call you. Glory to God. WhatsApp is on it, and you can listen to messages and every single thing. You understand? It works. Amen. But it's not an iPhone. So your friend gets an iPhone. And all of a sudden you become envious because we're going to be looking at the temperament of the believer with his money very soon. You now begin to get envious. What's all that? You know, you now begin to compare yourself with the person. You understand? You now begin to get envious every single time that person takes a phone, you know, a picture, and stand in front of a mirror. You know, you are looking, you know, you are harassed, you know. You are like looking, feeling as though you are worthless because you don't have that iPhone. So do you know what you do? You take the money that you have that is not enough for capital or for anything. You take it and do all you can to buy that iPhone. Guess what has happened? The money that you had, that you should have gone into the market to trade with so you can have more, you have given it to the guy that has 10 talents. Are you getting, are you understand what I'm saying? That is what it is. So the plan and the business strategy of the guy that has 10 talents is on how can he get you to give up your one? Oh, are you getting it now? So that is the plan. So when they have their corporate meetings and their strategy meetings, the idea is this: how can I get this person to give up the spare cash that it should use to generate more in cash flow? How can I get this person to give it up to me? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. That's why TikTok wants you to be on a subscription plan. X wants you to be on a subscription plan. Spotify wants you to be on a subscription. They all want you. They want to get your one talent. So that at the end of 1 year, when we ask you, what have you done with your one talent? Oh, you are a wicked employer. You gave me one talent? And you're giving another person 5? That's not the question they ask you. They say, what did you do with it? And the answer is nothing. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Please pay attention. Glory to God. So there's a lot to learn. Number one, the guy who was given much, labored much, and got more. So the guy was given first talent, went into the market, and traded. Notice, he traded. How many of you noticed that he traded? Listen to me. He traded. He went, he said, he traded and says, and I gained 5 talents more. The second guy who was given 2, most likely middle class, maybe has a job, you know, praise God. Maybe he works, he's a doctor or a nurse. Maybe he's a banker or an IT person. All right? He's given 2 talents. He labored much and got more proportionate to what he was given, 100%. But the guy who got the least despised what he got and did nothing. The folks in that last category, who usually get no return, who literally always lose their cash, to the one with 10 are the ones that despise what they have. They look down on it. They despise it. They despise their country, despise their location, despise every single thing. They always think they are disadvantaged. So because they feel they are disadvantaged, they feel that life has been hard on them, they don't try. They take no risks, they take no steps. They want to live in that land where they blame every other person. The country is wicked. Tinubu is mad. Chonwoli is a bastard. My place at work, they are mad there. You know, like that. You just blame every other person. No responsibility is taken. And time is going. And by time we come and say, what have you done with your one talent? Nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, that will not be me. Hallelujah. Now notice, the master gave to each person based on their capacity. He says he gave to them based on their what? Capacity. 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 The master had his capital. The master does not want to lose his capital. The people that will invest in you, whether at work or, you know, in your industry and all that, they don't want to lose what they have. So, the degree to which they will sacrifice for you is a function of your capacity. Do you have a job? Do you have somebody who's a line manager? Do you have someone you're looking for a mentor at your place of work? The thing is this, there is something called social capital. Nobody wants to spend it anyhow. So, they are watching to see, is this person worth the spend? What is the capacity of this person? To what degree? They say, okay, this one, I can give 5 talents. This one, I think he can handle 2. This one, it has not shown me much. Let me try this one out with 1. You understand? So, you see that master that gave that guy 1 was trying him out. Because he has not demonstrated appropriate capacity that he could handle more. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Listen to me. Whenever you are giving a chance that does not look like a lot, it is because you have not demonstrated enough capacity to show that you are deserving of more. When that happens, don't be offended like this guy in this story. Take your chance. Because if you take your chance, you will eventually be the guy they are giving to. If you take your chances, you will eventually be the guy they are giving 5. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So capacity determines the capital you command. Capacity determines the return you deliver. You are believing God for a job, and we will pray. We trust God. But listen, no organization is going to give you a job because they pity you. Nobody sends your father or your mother. Understand that. There is nobody that gives you a job to help you. They give you a job because of a value you are supposed to deliver to the organization. Glory to God. I always tell folks, listen. I tell you, listen. No matter what industry you play in, whatever job that you do, build yourself so well that even if your boss does not like you, they cannot sack you. Because sacking you will have an implication to the company's balance sheet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It has an implication. So the company, this person is not here, we will not meet our budget. So whether they like you or not, they have to work with you. If they sack you, the competition will hire you because the competition has taken note of you. Be that good. Is somebody talking about, you understand what I'm saying? Be that good. Be that good. Function at the level where you are not at the mercy of any employer. You are not at the mercy of any employer. You are in finance, be very good. Know how to do your reporting. Be good at what you do, all right? Be so good that your boss is asking you questions, all right, at an executive level. The conversation is at executive level, all right? You started that as a schoolboy level, but now you are an executive level because you have exerted yourself, you've trained yourself, all right? You've improved. The Bible tells us, it says, if an axe is blunt, all right, we sharpen it first before we use it to cut a tree. What we don't do is start using that blunt axe to cut the tree. It will be harder to cut the tree. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, we sharpen it first. Praise God. I said, praise God. I said, praise God. Our thing to learn is this. You see, the first two guys who were given the talents went and traded it. They went into the market themselves. They bet on themselves. I said, better. Dear Jesus. They took a bet on themselves. They went in and traded. They went into the market and traded. They did not give the capital to somebody to trade for them. Glory to God. There's something about financial increase where you need to be bold. You need to be bold to take that step. Glory to God. All right? If you are still timid, holding on, you need to be bold to take that step. You need to be bold enough to take the step. You need to be bold enough to take certain steps. Glory to God. Take certain risks. Take certain risk. As led by the Spirit of God, you take certain risk. Amen. I said amen. Now, the last guy, notice what the master said, because it wasn't Jesus. Jesus told the story of the master. The master told the last guy who brought no return. He said, okay, even if you didn't trade it, why didn't you hand it over to people who could have what? Done something with it. Which means that when you have resources or capital, there are two things to do with it. Number one, you either trade it, praise the Lord, do something with it, make that capital sweat, or you can give a third party who will trade it and earn returns to you. The difference is, in number one, you get more returns. In number two, you get what? Less returns. So it means, from this story, capital is not to be left idle. Capital is to be put to work. Say this with me. Capital is not to be left idle. Capital is to be put to work. Say it again. Capital is not to be left idle. Capital is to be put to work. Now, there's something else to see here in this story. It is that the master had servants. The servants had served the master for a while. And based on the relationship between the master and servants, the master now got to a point where he was leaving. And via his succession planning and change management philosophy, he now gives resources to his proteges who have been working with him. Look at me. One of the major problems we have in this part, is this. Everybody wants to be their own man too early. If you look at our wonderful brothers, our Igbo brothers, and you look at why they've been very successful in business. Everybody say, the Igbos are so successful in business. The question is why? Even in the informal sector, they are very successful. Why? It's simple. It's because of a mentorship protege system. That's why. Somebody comes, serves a master for a particular number of years. He learns every single trick in the book. He learns the trade. And when he's doing his freedom, the master gives him capital to start his business. So when he's entering into the marketplace, he knows everything he needs to know. He doesn't need a master class. He was in a master class for 7 years. He knows who the supplier is. He knows who the buyers are. You understand that? He knows who the banker is that will support him, all right? He knows who to bank. He knows based on mentorship. Mentorship. Listen to me. Look at me. If you have a stirring in your heart, all right, to start a business and all, listen, one of the best things you can do is actually to work first. To work in a structured environment, to work in a structured office, to understand systems, to understand process, praise God, to understand how things are structured, to understand, the place of finance, accounting, HR. You have to understand those things. It will help, all right? It will help. If you are able to work in a structured environment, build credibility, You will be able to attract certain things easily, all right, that you would not be able to attract if you have no credibility. Praise God. I said, praise God. You don't know how to build a business around a startup. And that's one problem we have in that space, in the startup space, in startup industry. I relate with many of the guys in that space. And I can tell you one of the major challenges they have is this. Many of them have not worked for long in structured environments. So they usually mismanage capital. It's the reason why the average startup in 5 years, they have disappeared. They raise $40 million. Next thing you see, all right, the brethren, the co-founders are already driving Benz and doing content, you know, in the Benz that they bought. All of a sudden, they are spending all sorts of money getting penthouses in Ikoyi. That's why. Because if they have worked in structured places and they understood corporate governance, it would not happen. Listen to me. Do not underestimate the impact of mentorship in financial success. Mentorship is important. Mentorship is important. Glory to God. I said, mentorship is important. Hallelujah. As I round up, there are a few terms to understand and ideas that we see in the parable of talent. You have that idea of talents were given to these guys. They traded it and they got more. So there are things to understand about talent. Now, by the way, when you see the parable of the talents, talent there is not talking about singing. So parable of the talent, he gave me 5 talents. Which 5 talents? Singing, dancing, speaking, drawing and running. No. Talent is actually, you know, the language, all right, is the measurement of money. A talent of gold, a talent of silver. It's money measurements. Okay? Money measurements. So if we're going to put 5 talents in dollar terms, I think that would have been somewhere around, if I'm not mistaken, maybe $250,000. Something like that. So there are certain terms we should know. Few terms to understand. Now, this is the practical class. Now, by the way, if you are by any reason here for the first time, I'm now saying, this is it. The church in Nigeria, they're always talking about money. Stop. God, don't let God punish you. We do theology in this church too, heavily. It's this month we are talking about this, and we've talked about covetousness. We talk about prosperity gospel first 2 Sundays. Today, we're just talking practical things. Don't let God punish you. Amen. Because some people are weird. Some people just hear 1-2 minutes thing and they will go on Twitter. Because God is punishing people now. So, hallelujah. Now, assets. What are assets and what are liabilities? An asset, you see, this thing I'm telling you. You know, when you look at it, if many of you that say, there's no money in my account, I just have 2K. Go to your bank statements. Go to your app, download your bank statement for 1 year. Go and check how much that went to your account. You'll be shocked. It will shock you. Some of you are salaried people. Check the gifts that came in, everything, add it together. Then you now need to ask yourself a question. What did I do with this money? Assets and liability. What is an asset? I will just break it down, make it very easy. Assets are things that produce or generate money. Anything that produces or generates money is an asset. So, what do you use capital to do? You use capital to get assets. Because what happens is, when you get an asset, that asset is now able to make cash flow. Okay? Okay? When you get an asset, that asset is able to make cash flow. Now, that's one definition of an asset. Another definition of an asset is this: anything that you purchase that appreciates in value over time. Anything that you purchase that appreciates in value over time is an asset. So first thing, anything that you purchase that can generate cash flow, or anything that you purchase that appreciates in value over time. I'll give you an example. How many of you here have bought a phone now, maybe close to 2 million naira before? Let's be honest, come on. We're big boys and big girls here. Just if you're online too, you can raise up your hands. Okay, you were gifted a phone. Nobody has raised up their hand. Wow. Thank you. Now listen. Technically, that phone that you were gifted is an asset. If it appreciates in value over time, if it is being used to generate cash flow. So, for example, if you bought an iPhone 27, hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. Follow me now, praise God. We are following. So, if you bought an iPhone 27 and you use that iPhone to generate content that you put online, that they pay you money for, that's an asset. The iPhone is what? An asset. Because it is helping you generate what? Cash flow. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Yeah. If they gave Mr. A 5 million naira, and they gave Mr. B 5 million naira, Mr. B goes to buy, he buys 5 million naira. He goes to buy Timberland shoes. All right, Timberland shoes, expensive perfume, glory to God. He goes to put gold teeth on his mouth, praise God, golden hair, and, you know, wear some brand, you know, brand stuff and all. Then he comes to church on Sunday and he's bouncing. Glory to God. Amen. And another person goes, listen, you know this other one that is bouncing with the 5 million naira? That, you know, the only 5 million naira he has in his life, that's what he has used to buy the stuff, right? Now, this other dude goes and takes the 5 million naira and buys 3 cows. What did I say he went to buy? 3 malu. 3. Now, guess what? Do you know the person most ladies may think have money, and most guys we think have money? This guy with Timberland. Then, but they look at this other one with 3 malu. Ew, cows, oh my God, cows, oh my God, cows. But you see, that guy that bought the cows has assets. Because from those cows, he will be able to do what? Get milk. Then he will be able to sell that milk. Then it gets milk for a long period of time, That's one. Second thing he can get is what? Manure, the cow dung, which he can sell to those who are in farming and agriculture to use in place of what? Fertilizer. It will help them grow the crops. So he's generating cash flow because he's getting those two things from the cow every single day. Then as time goes on, all right, those 3 cows, mostly one of them is a stud, they now begin to produce more cows. What's going on? He uses capital to buy 3 cows, asset. Now the asset is now going to be increasing in value because more cows will be what? Produced. Is somebody understanding the logic here? Now, as more cows are produced, more milk will be produced. As more milk is produced, more manure will be produced. And as more milk and manure is produced, praise God, more cash flow is produced. So usually, if you are from a poor background and you are hustling, we come to church, we will pray, declare. Usually, and you are working hard. Usually, God is not wicked. You will have a break. There will be a financial breakthrough. Maybe the first one or two will come that has not come before. Those financial breakthroughs that come that time, they are not the harvest. They are the seed capital for you to get what? Assets. Are you getting what I'm saying? They're the seed capital to get assets. Instead of going to go and buy Brazilian hair and put it on your head, buy Brazilian ears so that you can collect the one talent from the stupid people outside. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what you're supposed to do. Go and look for where can I get this Brazilian egg cheaper. You are borrowing money to buy a dress. You know? And you went, it's my motion. Is it fitting? Sister, leave that side. After you understand, money has finished. Think. A lot of ladies like wearing this, you know, looking nice and so. How do I collect their one talent? How can I deploy capital so that I can sell 100 dresses a month? There's one of my daughters here that she does a very sharp girl. When she told me how much she was making turnover a month, I said, correct. You heard this correct. She doesn't have a physical store. Everything is from Instagram. Everything Instagram. Praise God. Praise God. The point is not to look financially secure. It's for you to actually be financially what? Secure. The problem with African, Africans is that we always want to look better than we actually are. It's the reason why we will spend all our money at a wedding and have zero kobo, but we feel good because the wedding was considered a big wedding. You have 5 million in your account, you use 10 million naira for a wedding. Guess what? You are the fool person. You're a foolish person. All right? Because guess who benefited from that transaction? The wedding planner. The alaga. You know, the alaga, they're saying, hey, oh, your husband. You know, it's an industry. Give back your father his son name. Give back your father his son name. It's an industry. You are the one that is foolish now. Amen. You see, this the way this world is. If you are foolish, wise people will collect your dodo. That's what the parable of talent is telling us. They will collect it from you. And they will collect it from you, and you will be happy giving it to them. It's only in Africa that people want to get married. And the families will come together and spend more money than the people have. They will spend more money than the couple has to do wedding for them. And never give them really good money. Look, when I got married, the total amount they contributed for us, that they spray us at the wedding, was 53,000 naira, 500 naira. We have a problem in Africa. There are two things Africans tend to break the banks for. Wedding and funeral. Very stupid. I don't get it. Stupid. Put the person inside coffin. Call pastor. Let's just pray a few things. Put him inside the ground. Share biscuit and drink and let's go home. The guy has gone to be with the Lord. Why are we celebrating it and spending millions? It's stupid. It's dead. If you have the money, fine. But if you don't, why? Amen. So say, no, pastor, you see, pastor, I don't like this thing you are saying. No, I don't like this. I want a destination wedding. Do you have destination money? You don't have destination money. You have no assets. No land. No shares. No stock. No business. You are only 250K gross. 180 net of taxes. And you want destination wedding. It means that if you are asking God for things, you are asking for the wrong thing. You are praying amiss. That's why this sermon is here. So what are assets? The things that produce or generate money. And things that appreciate in what? Value. So when you have capital, what do you do? All right? Take it. Go and look for assets to buy. That's what you do. You take capital and look for assets to buy. Preferably, the kind of asset to buy are assets that will produce cash flow every day. Hallelujah. What are liabilities? Liabilities are things that cost money and don't generate money. Amen. They cost money, they don't generate money. Your car can be a liability. Amen. It doesn't generate money, all right? And it reduces in value over time. But if your car is used to generate money, maybe you use it for your business to go from one place to another, that means it's generating money. If you use it for Uber, it is generating money. Are you following what I'm saying? So that way it's an asset. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, it's an asset. Listen to me. At the beginning of your life, you chase capital to gather assets. Are you following what I'm saying? You don't chase capital to gather liabilities. There are some of you are single. You have been in 3 or 4 relationships, and in those relationships, you were giving the girl a salary. You can never make it. you can't make it, bro. Are you notice that thing? Look at it. I want you to think about it. There's something men don't realize about women. A woman can have 5 talents and ask for your 1. Yes, you see, because if you are stupid, give it to her. You are stupid now. So maybe you don't have sense. But when you say, I have one, I'm still trying, I want to get assets. And she begins to say that your head is correct. Then she can't trust. There are women that will collect your 1 talent. Then when you say you propose marriage, they'll say, I don't want to marry you because you don't have financial wisdom. I'm telling you, yeah. And she's right, you don't have sense. I've seen cases where boyfriend, girl, the guy says, I spend so much on his baby and so I don't have money. But the girl has money. She's loaded. Because she has sense. You are the other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And some sisters too are stupid like some brothers. You are in a relationship with somebody. You are giving the guy money. Giving the guy money. Hey, babe, can you give me 500,000? I will borrow it. He has borrowed it 7 times. He has never paid once. Identify liabilities, even in relationships. Some people are liabilities. They never appreciate in value and never generate cash flow. Glory to God. Let's continue. A believer must never spend in the flesh. Galatians 5:21 talks about envyings as a work of the flesh. Your friend bought a Chang'an, brand new. Or bought a brand new BMW. Nothing's wrong with your car. Your car works fine. But envy is in your heart. Now, because of the envy in your heart, you are now making financial decisions. Because of that. That's foolishness. There are things you don't need. You don't get them. You don't need it. You don't get it. Hallelujah. Look. There is the wisdom of God, especially as, you know, as we see in the fruit of the Spirit, that is key to increase. Self-control. Where you are tempered. Self-control. The flesh is saying, get it. No. It's not yet time. Hallelujah. I can't afford it. Because the fact that you have the money complete does not mean you can afford it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The fact that you have the money complete does not mean you can afford it. Affordability is not about you can pay for it. No. Affordability should be tied to sustainability. If you pay for it now, do you have more amounts to pay for it tomorrow? Do you have a system of generating cash flow that can pay for it again and again? So the point of the believer, the way you should think is this, is that I want to acquire assets that generate cash for me, where I don't have to always work for money, but money can all now begin to what? Work for me. That mindset of, I want to hammer. You see, you've done this thing. You are doing sporty bet. You know the reason why there's a lot of gambling addiction is poor financial wisdom. You know why? Is that, look at the mindset of the gambler is to hammer. And if he hammers, check what he does with the money. You will never find a business tycoon, all right, who raised capital from gambling. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will never find that raise capital from, no. The money they get from gambling, they will blow it. Because for to you to be a gambler, there's a mindset. You are looking for quick wins. Money and increase does not come through that mindset. Get rich quick. No. You lose money. You see, gambling is one of the perfect examples of the guy with five talents looking for people with one. Notice, gambling as a business always explodes during the times of slow economic growth, where there is not much money outside. So what now happens is the guy that will take their 100 naira, their 200 naira, their 300 naira, those people, they will gather them in large numbers with a few people that have some more money and gather them, tell them, don't worry, you will make it. Don't worry, just put it, you will make it. You are gambling. Stop that nonsense. Your prosperity is not going to come from. They cannot. In fact, you can even win on the app. They will seize it. They will say there was a problem. There was a glitch. Pay me out. What will you do? You go to the government. The government says, will you come and tell your pastor? Pastor, pray with me. Oh, I want money on gambling. They didn't pay out. So I'll now use the name of Jesus and be commanding angels to call. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Are you learning something today? I said, are you learning something today? So, if you earn a salary, put money aside to get assets. You'll be working for a while now. Have you bought land? Land is an asset that appreciates in value. Go and buy. You're working for a while. Put money aside. Get some stock, but investigate the stock market well. Praise the Lord. There's something I'm considering doing. I'm still thinking about it. Get some business people and look at, okay, maybe we can put some money there. Not dash you. I won't dash you money. I don't believe in doing grants. Who will give you grants? Me. God forbid. It will be investment. You will give me back money. We've done grants before. They chopped it. Yes, it's free money. You never give grants to Nigerians. So they will eat it. Invest it. You will pay back with returns. We will sign this thing. Lawyer will come, we will sign. You will get guarantor. So you will be serious in your brain. Yes. Because you have to deliver value. Let me tell you something. One of the worst ways, listen to me, listen very well. The person that hates you the most is the one that gives you hands out the most. Nobody becomes big on handouts. Look at Nigeria. We're always begging America for money. Begging this one for money. Begging. Who is giving America money? Handouts. Never have the handout mentality. Have the capacity development mentality. How do I add to my value? As a Christian, someone say, Pastor, is this the gospel? Listen to me. Better read your Bible very well, though. And understand the impact of Christianity on the world. That merit-based system, that Protestant work ethic, where they said, the way a shoemaker shows that he's a Christian is not by putting crosses on his shoes and say Jesus is God on his shoes or calling it Jesus and Sons mottos. No. It's by ensuring he makes good shoes. So they will say, wow, a Christian made those. The way a cleaner demonstrates that he's a Christian at his job, it's not by singing, oh God of Elijah, send that fire in the office place. No, it's by cleaning that office space so well that they will say, nobody ever cleaned this place like this guy. That's a Christian. The problem with us is that in the marketplace, we want to be known by speaking in tongues. We want to be known by how regular we went to church and the prayer, this thing we put on our WhatsApp groups and all those things. Some of the worst workers are the ones that join money prayers. And use prayers as an excuse for late coming. What they are looking for is performance. Your spirituality should drive performance. If your spirituality is not driving performance, for as a Christian, that is fake spirituality. Praise the Lord. Daniel's spirituality made him 10 times better than every other person in Babylon. Why is your own making you 10 times worse? Praise God. You're a student. You are always late to class. You are always right, forging attendance. But you pray in tongues for 24 hours. Forging attendance. You're a forger. They know you. It's 9:15. You have called people. I beg. Help me write my name for attendance. I know they come class, but help me write my name. I beg. Now help me now. Help me write my name. Thank you. Then the other Anwili is your fellowship vice president. And she's helping you forge it. Glory to God. Amen. Let's round up. So, this is the simple formula. As I close, use capital to get assets that generate cash flow or appreciate in value. Oh yeah, let's say it together. One, two. Listen, let me tell you something. This church, you have to do well. If there's any sentence we have in this church, everybody that I am pastoring, you will have to excel spiritually. Amen. Mentally, I don't pastor others. I don't pastor others. If you come here an idiot, your wisdom level will rise. Then material, you will prosper materially too. Amen. That's our contract. Are we together? Good. So listen, say this with me. All right. I will use capital that God supplies to get assets which appreciate in value or generate cash flow. So help me God. Very simple. Praise the Lord. That will come. Can you put your hands together for that one? Let me use an example. Come. Come, Joe. I want to give you free advice. Work like an entrepreneur, like a CEO. You know, practice the work. Yeah, come. Now, that boy is CEO of Darkpaw's Corner, right? Darkpaw's Sport. Now, Darkpaw did something very interesting. I want you to learn from this. As a student, he had an idea. An idea to start a restaurant business on a school campus. Now, here's the funny thing. Darkpaw did not have the money. So what Darkpaw did was Darkpaw wrote a business plan. He showed me the business plan, went through it and all that. We did all the numbers together and the cash flow projections and every single thing. And Darkpaw now began to look for investors. And finally, he was able to find enough investors who were able to put a couple of millions of naira, I think tens of millions, like 20 million, something like that, all right, into the business as capital. We were able to look at it and do it in such a way, we structured it such that he retained controlling interests in the business despite getting capital from investors. Okay? Now, that business is up and running and generating cash flow. He just finished last year, right? You know last year?
Yes, sir.
All right. He has not gone for NYSC. You didn't have money to start. He didn't have money to start. You were a student. He was one. Only difference was he did things differently. So he's generating cash flow. He's not likely to look for a job. Because Darkpaw Sports will be in Unilag soon. And be in other universities soon. And soon will be in urban areas. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it is not what you don't have that limits you. It's actually what you have that you don't know how to use. Thank you very much, Darkpaw. Praise God. So, I'll give you 7 wisdom keys on your finances. Number 1, do all you can to gather capital. Capital can come as your money or other people's money. Your money or other people's money. Instead of saying, I don't want to use this example. That money you are looking for from Bone Street. Look for it for capital, sister. Praise the Lord. Capital. Amen. I said amen. For capital. Yours and third parties. If you use from third parties, it's called equity. So they have equity in your business. Maybe one of these days we'll have something away from church where we'll organize. I'm planning to organize something like an SME forum for members of OIKEA across the church, across our churches. Okay? where we will take you through legal stuff, compliance stuff, finance stuff and all. Kind of like give you an idea of what you need to do to run a business. Because I think that more of us actually need to run businesses. All right? It's possible. There are different kinds of businesses you can run. There's, do you know, look up, Demba Nsoro. Look up, look at me very well. Do you realize, do you realize that many of you can actually begin to make money from music without knowing how to sing? There are AI apps right now that you can generate music from. If you subscribe to the app, you pay them a monthly subscription. That music will be released to you at yours, as yours, which you can now upload on Spotify and YouTube and all those platforms. And the number of people that engage that, if you generate traffic from it and views, those platforms pay you. Do you know that? You can create contents with prompts and text on different AI platforms that you can use. Now, how many of you have watched some of this TikTok channel on history, where you are watching on history of this, history of that, and you are seeing all those visuals? Those visuals, when they didn't get any editor, video editor. It was AI. Prompts. I had a friend that actually went on Donna, produced a song on Donna, then produced a music video for that song on Donna with prompts. I produced a song for my wife after she gave birth to my third child on Donna, and I'm going to produce a music video on how we do it. It's easy. Listen, to make one is easy this period. Amen. Very, very easy. Let's just continue. So do all you can to gather capital, yours and third parties where possible. To get capital from third parties, you have to demonstrate capacity. All right? That's another decision. Number two, use that capital to purchase assets, not liabilities. Use that capital to purchase assets, not liabilities. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. All right? Use it to purchase assets, not liabilities. That means, you know, we design assets. Now, number three, use the assets to generate cash flow. All right? All right. Assets that generate daily cash flow, all right, are better. Number four, spend from your cash flow, not your assets or capital. Spend from your cash flow, not your assets or capital. You have, if you have 50 million naira capital, use that 50 million naira capital to purchase a 50 million naira asset, and that 50 million naira asset could generate, say, 10 million naira for you or 20 million naira for you annually, but your capital remains the same. All right, over years, you can reinvest your profit, growing your capital, all right, adding retained earnings to your capital, and your capital keeps growing year on year, but you are not touching the capital, you are feeding and living from the cash flow. Praise God. Praise God. Don't use your capital to buy a car. You are driving your increase. Glory to God. If you're a medical doctor, a therapist, a psychologist, and so on, use your capital to set up things that generate cash flow. If you're a therapist, a psychologist, or a doctor, as a simple office, all right, where people can come and see you. All right, that entire setup is an asset. Because as people come to see you, cash flow is being generated. You can turn your social media presence to an asset that generates cash flow for you. Praise the Lord. Because assets can be intangible. So you may not see it, but it's generating money. Okay? Now, number five. Seek ways to use part of your cash flow to get even more assets. Seek ways to use part of your cash flow to get even more assets. Number six, seek ways to grow your capital base so as to create even more assets. Note they are different. Seek ways to use part of your cash flow to increase your assets. Seek ways to grow your capital base. Now, when I'm talking about growing your capital base, I mean getting investors into your business. All right? Look for mine and say, this is what I'm doing. All right, I'm looking for investors. I want people to come. all right, on my board, the board of my business. I want to incorporate my business, all right. I value my business at currently 200 million, all right. For 20 million, you can get 10%. What have you done? You have attracted more capital to the business. And with more capital, you can get more what? Assets. And with more assets, you can get more what? Cash flow. Is this clear? Church, is this clear? Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right, so seek ways to grow your capital base so as to create even more assets. Number 7, always ensure assets exceed liabilities. So when you get home today, go and do an analysis of what you have and put things that can generate cash or appreciate in value, put them in the asset column. Then look at things that are taking money away from you, put them in the what? Liability column. Funny enough, everybody look up. One of the things I love about women is this, wise women, is that when, and this is what men don't understand about women, when women want to decide who they will marry, they put on their HR cap, human resources. They ask themselves real questions. Is this person an asset or is this person what? A liability. What can this person do? Does he speak well? Yes. Does he dress well? Yes. Does he smell nice? Yes. Does he have sense? Yes. Is he good with money? Yes. All right. Can I trust him with my life? No. So they'll put all those things there. Yes. But for men, many men that are still at the infantile level of life, where their impulses and their body is still ruling over them, they don't make those kind of sound choices. You see it with footballers. Footballers, because they are young. Notice most footballers are very young. Check it. They get money too early. When they want to pick a spouse or girlfriend, go and look at who they go and date. They will date OnlyFans people, date people that have slept with this other person, slept with this other. They date, why? Because they are making their choices based on things that are not sound. Okay? That's what happens. So, no matter how much money they make, they are going to lose it. Praise God. How many of you remember? The guy with 5 got 5 more. Then he got 1 from the one that did not know how to use it. Somebody out there is planning and scheming how to take your 1 talent. I hope you will not let them take it.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For more messages, kindly search for our Telegram channel using the link t.me/oikiacc. God has blessed you.